Well, good morning again, church. It's great to be with you all here today. I'm so proud of all the young people. Like, they've put so much work and preparation into this morning. So, yeah, just really proud of each of them. When I was about 10 years old, me and my family went on a holiday to the Lake District. Has anyone ever been to the Lake District before? Yeah, loads of us. Well, we had a great time. We were camping, so we was enjoying being outside, being in the nature, and enjoying just being together. And on the last day of our holiday, my dad decided to take me and my sister up a nearby mountain while my mum packed our tent down. They probably just wanted to get me and my sister out of the way, but that is okay. We set off, we stopped at a little corner shop and got some snacks, and we was enjoying having them as we went up. And as we got near the top of the mountain, along the path were these big boulders. So I did what any 10-year-old would do, right? I started to run and jump from boulder to boulder. But all of a sudden, I jumped towards one of them, and my feet went straight through it. It turns out this one wasn't rock, but just dark moss. My whole body stumbled, and I fell completely off the edge of this mountain. I fell about 2 meters before, thankfully, I was able to grab onto the edge. And I remember this moment really well, even now, as I literally hung on for my life with about an 800 feet drop below me. I looked down and watched as the chocolate bar, which was originally in my hand, fell all the way through the sky down to the bottom. And for a split moment, I felt really alone. And then all of a sudden, I heard my dad's voice, and I looked up, and I saw his head like pop over the edge of the cliff. And he stared at me with this fear in his eyes, and he screamed my name. And I remember, even though I was like really terrified in that moment, I just had so much hope that my dad would be able to rescue me. Now, what he decided to do, he didn't want to like reach down and pull me up, because he was worried that if he reached down and grabbed me, he might let go. He's probably just watched too many movies. So what he decided to do was climb down underneath and try and push me up from below. Now, if you know my dad at all, you will know his balance and his coordination, not his strong points. But he just wanted to do everything he could to bring me to safety. And there is actually a lot more to this story. I don't have time to tell it all now, so do come and speak to me, or if you know my dad, speak to him. But eventually, we were back on solid ground again, covered in mud, full of anxiety, in pain, but safe again. And I wonder, what or who do you turn to when out of nowhere, everything goes wrong? Today in our passage, we find two disciples whose worlds had literally just been flipped upside down, whose hopes and dreams had been shattered, whose belief systems had crumbled beneath them. And although only Cleopas is named in the passage, it names them both as disciples. So we can assume that they spent a lot of time following Jesus in his ministry. They would have seen him raise people to life. They would have seen him heal the paralyzed, open the eyes of the blind. They would have heard Jesus' teaching, coming to know him as the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who came down from heaven to save. They would have seen the way Jesus demonstrated love and kindness and compassion. They would have been on the highest of highs, living out their wildest dreams with the Creator of the universe. And then they would have watched this man, this Jesus, die the most gruesome and humiliating death. They would have seen him be buried in a tomb with a huge rock being rolled in front of the entrance. How do you process that? How do you process the fact that everything you had ever hoped for, everything you believed in, had just been snatched away from you in a moment? And maybe your life feels a little bit like that. Maybe something has happened and it feels like everything has suddenly gone wrong. Like everything has just been flipped the wrong way around. At Satellites this year, I eventually on day 3 had a 20-minute break to myself. So what I decided to do was go for a walk, and I went and sat down next to this really lovely stream. And as I was sat there, I suddenly realized that I was feeling really sad. Like, I was feeling so deep in my soul, this sadness, and I genuinely had no idea why. So I sat there for 20 minutes crying out to God, saying, God, why am I feeling these emotions? I don't know why I am feeling so sad. But after 20 minutes, I had to get on with my day, so I got up, I spent the rest of the day with the young people, and then that evening, we went to the main celebration. And during one of the times of sung worship, the Holy Spirit just fell on me in such a dramatic way. I just started weeping and weeping and weeping. And God started highlighting to me what this sadness was that I was feeling. In a previous role, when working at a youth worker at another church, I had my heart completely broken. I worked with these amazing young people for 2 years, and God gave me so much love and compassion for them, just like he's done for our incredible young people here. And then, you know, I'd hoped to see them grow up, to see them grow into the people that God was calling them to be. And then, unexpectedly, my contract just wasn't renewed, and I was told I had to leave my role. I just could not process that. Mahela and I lost our house as we were staying in church accommodation. We lost our purpose, and we had to say goodbye to these young people with a sudden full stop. We had our last week with them at an event exactly like Satellites, and at the end of it, we said our goodbyes, and that was it. We didn't see them again. Sorry, one second. And we couldn't keep in contact because they were under 18. There was no soft ending. It just finished, and I couldn't process it. It honestly felt like my heart had been ripped in two. And we moved in with my parents for a while, and me and Mahela worked in an Amazon warehouse to try and make some money for a short time. And I applied for youth work role after youth work role and got rejected again and again and again. And I was just so angry. I was so angry at God. I could just not see where God was in all this. And one day I just went for a walk. I just walked off into the middle of a field. I got as far away from people as I possibly could. And I just screamed at God, what the hell are you doing? I just completely lost all hope in him. I'd lost all trust in him. And again, I think this is where we find the disciples in this passage. They decided to leave Jerusalem and head back to what seemed to be familiar to them, a village called Emmaus. Now, I just want to highlight what it says in verse 13. Right at the beginning of today's passage, it says, that same day. So if you're reading a standalone passage and it reads something like that same day, it's really important that you actually go back and look, what does it say happened that same day? And it says, the women had gone to the tomb and not found Jesus, but instead found an angel who told them that Jesus had risen. It also says that Peter went to look at the tomb and found it empty. That was the same day that these disciples decided to leave. Why on earth would they be leaving when they'd just been told these things had reportedly happened? I mean, it sounds crazy, doesn't it? Maybe looking back now, we think to ourselves, what little faith they had. But let's be fair, how many of us have watched someone die, be buried, and be raised again? When Jesus died, they lost all hope, and it seemed as though nothing would change that. So they're heading to Emmaus. We don't particularly know why Emmaus. Maybe they lived there. They obviously had a place to stay. But it seems as though they were trying to get back to what was familiar again, before they'd had this life with Jesus. Then suddenly, Jesus comes up and walks alongside them. But they are kept from recognizing him. And he asks them, what are you discussing as you walk along? And I love this question. I love how Jesus is just trying to get them to express themselves. And ironically, they reply, Jesus of Nazareth, which is kind of strange when they're talking to Jesus. And they described him as a prophet. Not the Messiah, not the Son of God, but but a prophet. They downgraded him because of their lack of faith. And they said, we had hoped he was going to redeem Israel. We had hoped. Their hope was now completely gone. Their hope was in the past tense. Maybe that's why they couldn't recognize him. They just had no hope at all that he could possibly be alive. They'd completely given up on him. And then Jesus replies with the harshest rebuke in the entire Gospel of Luke. He says, how foolish you are. How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Did not the Messiah, not a prophet, but the Messiah, have to suffer and enter his glory? Now, maybe this doesn't sound as much like the kind and loving and humble Jesus that we come to know in the Gospels. But I feel like what Jesus is trying to say here is, it's okay to struggle. It's okay to be down. It's okay to be heartbroken. It's okay to feel lost. It's okay to grieve. It's okay to be afraid. But it is not okay to give up all hope in me. It is foolishness to give up all hope in me. And then beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explains to them what is said in the scriptures concerning himself. When everything feels like it is crumbling down around you, Jesus is saying, do not give up all hope in me. I will not fail you. I will not leave you. Do not give up hope in me. So after leaving my previous youth work role, it was quite a dark time in my life, and Mahela and I spent almost a year living with my parents while we just couldn't find a place to move because it was in the middle of COVID. And then eventually we moved to Bourne and we decided to try coming to Bourne Baptist Church. And while we're here, I met a wonderful woman called Lee Smith. Now Lee invited me to come and volunteer with the youth work. And I remember the first Thursday evening, as I walked through the door into the back hall, I felt the Holy Spirit rest on me and this warmth fill my heart where I'd felt numb for so long. And she probably won't remember this moment, but that evening, Lighthouse started playing. And all the young people started to dance around and link arms with one another. And seeing that I was all alone on our first night, the lovely Rebecca Arnold came over, linked arms with me, and we started to swing around together. And although it was such a small act, it made me feel so welcomed. And I felt so clearly from God as I left the back hall that day. He said, you are home. And coming back to Satellites this year, as I was weeping and God was helping me to release all this pain that I'd stored up for so long, I opened my eyes and saw nearly all our young people standing around me praying for me. And it moved me deeply. And I felt God show me that everything that had taken place, everything that was so painful, happened so that I could be here at Bourne Baptist Church working with our incredible young people that I love dearly. See, it's so easy to see the hope for things and the reason for things when we look back. We look back and we can say, God, now I see what you were doing and I trust you. But it is so much harder to hold on to hope in the middle of when everything is going wrong. Maybe right now you feel like you're just at a breaking point. And I would encourage you, cling on so tightly to God. Help is coming. Just as I hung onto the side of the mountain and waited for my dad to rescue me, hold on to Jesus in these moments. He will help you through. Don't give up hope in him. Even if you can't see it now, even if it feels impossible, he will not fail you. And I'd also encourage you that if you're feeling like your hope is slipping and life is feeling quite dark, reach out to those who love you. Reach out to your friends and family. Reach out to the church pastoral team, young people, reach out to a member of the youth team. We are stronger together as we stand shoulder to shoulder and wait for the glory of God to shine through in your life. Jesus will come through for you. As the disciples came towards the end of their journey, Jesus carried on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, come, stay with us. So he did. And as they were around the table together, Jesus broke the bread, and all of a sudden their eyes were open to him. And Jesus disappeared from their sight. And they said to one another, were not our hearts burning inside us while he walked with us on the road? They got up immediately. They headed back to Jerusalem, to the rest of the other disciples, and back to their purpose again. And then Jesus appeared among them and said, peace be with you. Jesus didn't walk them back. He encountered them, and then he left them with a decision. Were they going to stay where they were, lean on their own understanding and strength, or were they going to run back to Jesus and the purpose he had for their life? Even though the two disciples had given up all hope, even though they had walked out on their life in Jerusalem, even though they began to think of Jesus as a prophet rather than the Messiah, Jesus would not let them walk out on him without an encounter. He would not let them give up on him without revealing himself to them once again. And maybe that is what you need this morning. You need an encounter with Jesus again. You need to encounter his loving presence. You need him to fill you with hope where things feel hopeless. He wants to fill you with that hope in the middle of the storm. And he wants you to know that you can lean on him and rely on him no matter what you're going through. We can work so hard at times to lean on ourselves when things get hard. But the truth is, our one true hope is the glory of Jesus. The glory of the Savior of the world, the glory of the Messiah, the glory of the Son of God. He is our only true and consistent hope. So we're going to leave some time now to encounter the glory of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And the AV team are just going to play an instrumental track in the background. And simply what we're going to do is we're just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and encounter us. So if we can hear, play the song at the back, guys, that would be amazing.